Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, start the show. It's been a while, but I'm back. It has been a while.
Hold on.
All right. Got the full team here. We love it. We're missing my guy, Curtis. Hopefully he's doing good, as always. All that good jazz.
Yeah. I haven't been able to get over to Curtis's because, in his state, I got to make 100% sure that, I'm not going to pass anything off to him.
Makes sense. And you're coming off of your COVID stuff as well, so that makes sense too. So making sure you and the Arnett are doing good. America's been an interesting couple of weeks. I know we took some time off. Prayers out to you and your family. JQ, as always, we don't want to spend too much time in that space, but we did want to say we were thinking of you as always, man. So,
I appreciate it.
Looks like Gary's been going through that. Yes, we got you, man. It's much more than sports sometimes. We talk about life and all that good jazz. So, without further ado, we're just going to kind of go around the room and check in with everybody, and we'll do what we normally do. So, Mr. JQ, the floor is yours. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. I appreciate you guys. I 100% appreciate the flowers and all the sentiment, you guys. It means a whole lot in a rough time, but I'm ready to be back and talk some sports with y'all. It's been a really crazy day, so let's get to it.
Love it. Mr. Robert Ford, you good, sir?
Yeah, doing fantastic, man. Ready to get this party started.
And are you guys able to join to the Zoom? Is it a little challenge? I just want to make sure you guys are good with that, so you didn't make sure that guys are good. Like that.
I'm getting on it right now.
What's the challenge that you run into, Rob? Is asking you for the number, or where are you at? Because Gary's on, as always. I want to make sure nothing was a little off for tonight. Okay.
Can you give it to me again? Is it 807-808-9239?
Yes, that should be it.
Yeah.
I'll make sure that we're good as far as that. I'm just getting everything reset to make sure everything is good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put it out there like that. My fault.
808. No, it's fine. Yeah, we'll see. 807-808-9239 should be the code for that too, by the way. You still got to get the invitation to jump in the room. No one's just going to get popped in, by the way, too. So just you still have to get past me as a gatekeeper. Rob Ford, I was waiting for you to join in. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing fantastic. Ready to get this party started, fellas. Good to be back.
I appreciate
2 week break, 2 week hiatus.
Yeah, we did. And I noticed how, we've got a lot of things to discuss. We are right on the peak of NBA free agency, as always. There's Rob. We'll get him in, and I'm sure we're going to take a quick second. So we got a lot of things to discuss, too. So obviously, I feel like there's no love, Rob, leaving out my Hawks. We're going to talk about that, too. So I'm going to squeeze it in, as always. So we'll talk about that. Gary, how you feeling? West Coast, man. What's going on, sir?
I'm feeling a lot better. Our whole house, we all got COVID. Arnett and I, my mom, and our renters, and their seven month old daughter, all of us got COVID.
Oh,
so
wow.
Just kind of getting through that whole process, taking these COVID tests. I hadn't taken one for a long time, and I did early on at work, and then everything was fine with that. And but these new tests, there's so many different new tests. You go to the pharmacy and you can get, I don't know, 6 or 7 different tests, and they're all just a little bit different. So just make sure you – I think if you come up with something like that, if our listeners come up, get the same test so you get proficient how to do that particular test, and you're not mixing up the tests and ruining your, you know, your results or whatever. So you pick up one type, make sure you pick up that same type the next time. That's my that's my health advice for the day.
Keep it consistent, right?
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, again, it feels like we've been on a little hiatus. Let's jump in with some numbers to throw to the show. As always, the same number, 424-243-9519 is the number. Follow us on the Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you go to Facebook, facebook.com/Stockton Sports, the 12th man or 12th man sports, you will find us in that arena as well. And like you said, this month has literally flown by. We're literally, tomorrow is the first part of July. But we are excited to talk about some free agency stuff too. So, you know, gentlemen, before we got on the show, there was a huge, huge bombshell that was dropped. We'll talk about the Woj bombs, if you will. But, you know, obviously we kind of had some interesting things that's happening, because whenever Kyrie Irving again tried to, you know, re-up with the Nets, then you realize that the bombshell is that Kevin Durant has asked for a trade, if you will. And so you talk about kind of an interesting scenario, because in this situation, you know, if you're the Nets, it's like, man, you talk about what kind of the worst situation that even happened. So, you know, again, you're going to blow it up, it looks like. And we'll go around the room and get your thoughts on this, and just kind of what this kind of shakes up as far as what this means as far as the rest of the league, and then kind of the East. And kind of we're hearing some rumors. There's about 5 top teams, if you will. I know Gary was pretty excited to see the Portland Trailblazers on that list. We'll talk about that as well, and just kind of what the ramifications of this actually mean. So, Mr. JQ, we will kick it off with you, sir, and your thoughts about this huge Woj bomb, as they say. Go ahead, sir. JQ, are you on? What happened? Okay. Where's Rob at? Can you hear us, Rob? Anybody?
Yeah,
here?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. My bad. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There we go. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. You get Kevin Durant for 4 years, and that's a big coup. But how much do you have to give up of your team? Like, if Jonathan Murray goes for 3 first-round picks, does Kevin Durant go for 6? Like, that's a lot of first-round picks. That's a lot of capital. I just don't understand. You almost have to trade your star player for him, and put together some picks unless you trade LeBron James or Giannis. Any other player is going to require him and some picks. So it's almost the same thing people talk about with LeBron. It's like, if you trade for him, you know, how much do you have to give up in terms of collateral and first picks to get Kevin Durant? But because when you're getting him for 4 years. Like, he's locked into that contract. So you're trading for that contract also of Kevin Durant, and the Nets also know that. So it's going to be really interesting to see what you can teams put together and what the Nets will agree to, right? I just when's the last time you see somebody like Kevin Durant come up on a trading block? Like, everybody's got the other things, like, I can get Kyrie, I can get this, I can get that. When nobody's sitting around thinking, what happens if Kevin Durant comes available? That's a huge domino. So I just don't know. I have no trade scenarios. AD and Aiton, I don't feel like Aiton is enough from Phoenix. And I know he talks about going to Phoenix, but don't you have to ask for Aiton and Booker for Kevin Durant if he's Phoenix? Like, doesn't it start with that? Like, you can have all the picks you want. I'll take Aiton.
Yeah.
On a renewed contract and Booker. And you can have CP and KD. Good luck. If you're Phoenix, what else is, you know, does Brooklyn feel like that's enough for Kevin Durant? They could ask for the moon.
for Kevin Durant. So, I mean, I'll turn it over to you guys. I just don't know what is a good deal for Kevin Durant. These things just don't happen.
Yeah. You know what's interesting?
Robert, we can't see either.
The interesting piece about this whole ordeal to me, you notice he didn't ask for this trade until Kyrie decided he was committed to staying with the Nets. To me, that was really interesting because he didn't ask for the trade when Kyrie was talking about leaving. So, to me, it almost makes me wonder. It's got to be he wants away from Kyrie Irving because when Kyrie Irving was talking about leaving, he said he was saying he was loyal. I was like, and now all of a sudden he's not loyal anymore, that Kyrie's coming back. To me, I thought that was a real interesting piece in all of this. I think he realized he just can't do this with Kyrie Irving. He's got to get some. Phoenix is not going to trade him Booker. Phoenix just locked Booker in on the max deal. Booker is a much younger player. They're not going to throw Booker in any type of deal for him. And then if you're Miami, the two places that he's considering going, you know, Miami is only better if they have him and Butler, right? So, I mean, I agree with JQ. I mean, what do you give up in this trade? Is a bunch of first-round picks? Phoenix at least can throw a somewhat decent player in Ayton in the deal and a whole bunch of first-round picks, possibly.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're Miami, what are you throwing? Bam Adebayo? I mean, what, you know, and nothing seems to, work to be in, nothing seems to work to where it's an even trade in this deal. And, you know, you're not going to get an even trade. I mean, let's just face it. You're going to have to get a lot of draft capital in return for this. But it's interesting. I'm curious to see, you know, what's going to happen. But like I said, the intriguing thing to me is, and they didn't ask for this trade when Kyrie Irving was thinking about leaving.
Right. Look at that. Look at that. Look at JQ representing. We see. Hey, Rob, we can't see you on the video. Do we need to, like, do I need to kick you out, come back in, or is you're just kicking on something? Or
I don't know. I'm having all kinds of technical difficulties, so I'm not sure what the deal
is.
I keep installing camera and it says it can't come on.
Okay. I'm going
to
kick you in and try to come back in.
This is Rob. I can't go to Cincinnati for too many weeks in a row.
And I was going to say, JQ, very nice shot of Cincinnati, too. I didn't realize Cincinnati was that pretty, man. So, you know.
So who's the best?
It's all good.
JQ, who's the best quarterback to come out of that area, Cincinnati? Who's the best quarterback to come out of that area?
Don't get off topic, Gary, too. We got to talk about Kevin Durant, too. Don't try to get off of that, bud.
Nobody.
Really?
From Cincinnati?
From Cincinnati?
Like, the Bengals are like from Cincinnati.
No, from Cincinnati. From Cincinnati. Grew up in Cincinnati. I don't know. You might have heard his name before. Roger Staubach. Yeah, you might have heard
his name. Oh, yeah. He was the first. No. He was a pro sober in high school in Cincinnati, the same high school my brother went to. Sorry. Brain freeze. Yes. Roger Staubach. Pro sober.
No, but as far as KD, you know, you're right. You're gonna have to come up with a superstar. All these teams that want him have, you know, a superstar, a max superstar. Are they willing to give up that max superstar and draft picks for KD? I say no, because are they really that much better off if they're giving up another max all-star, superstar, whatever, and then down the road, you know, they've sold their soul to the devil by giving away, you know, potential, you know, players for their team. So I don't see it happening the way I do. I do like Rob's thought process, though, as he waited until Kyrie said he probably got tired of Kyrie saying, this is my team, I'm the best, you know, you're my number two guy. Whatever he's saying in practice that's pissing you know, KD, who's already sensitive as it is, off in practice. So he intentionally, it appears that he intentionally did wait. He said, okay, you want to stay? That's great. Yeah, I'm leaving now. You can have your team.
Yeah. Yeah, deuces. It's pretty interesting, too. Good stuff. And I think it's pretty ironic that there's one team that has the draft picks, and that's OKC, right? OKC has just a ton of draft picks. But then
nobody wants to live in Oklahoma?
Right. Exactly. But I'm saying it's kind of ironic that kind of like where you start is where you end up, right? But it's just like, man, they've got the draft picks. You know, they've got, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They got a couple young players. But then, you know, now we're about salary matches. So that's a wash, right? Then you got Miami, as you mentioned earlier, Rob. But there's no way you can't give up Butler. So maybe you're looking at a Bam Adebayo or maybe a Tyler Hero.
Man.
Then you got
you give up Butler.
Yeah.
You give up Butler in a freaking heartbeat in four first round picks. Give him Kyle Lowry and Bam Adebayo and KD in the East. 100%. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know what you did for us?
Yeah.
Good night.
Right.
Do you keep Tyler Hero and Duncan? Yeah,
and Riley's
100%.
That guy. Riley's that guy that's willing to push everything in on that.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not saying that's a no. I'm just saying that these are some scenarios that you look at. Right. Yeah. So
you got
that's 100%.
You got the weather.
If you're Miami,
city.
If you take that deal, you're like yes.
Yeah.
But the salary's got to match up, right?
Well, I'm sorry, Gary.
Too,
go ahead, Gary.
Right?
No, I mean, Riley's that type that is willing to push it all in on him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He wants another ring for that city. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one guy that has the clout that if you're in there and you're as a player talking to him, and it's maybe close with another city, maybe it's close with – maybe they've got something, you know, maybe kind of working in Phoenix, let's say – Riley's going to sway him, you know, to South Beach, you know.
It's South Beach. I don't care how of a dry heat it is. You're going to Florida with no state taxes to Paradise in Miami with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. They win. They just have inherent advantages. Texas and Florida with no state taxes. But Florida with Pat Riley and South Beach, and I can keep Hero. There's no
Rob,
issue recruiting people to Miami.
Is Rob good over there? I'm making sure Rob is good over here because I feel like he's kind of like not.
Oh, yeah,
Rob, are you good, bro?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, I'm just making sure. It's not like Rob's trying to deal with some stuff over there because normally you would have piped in by now, too, but it's all good. But no, like you said. So, are we crossing off any teams? I mean, are we crossing off the Trailblazers for our poor Gary? Because you know, again, you know, obviously Shaedon Sharpe was a great pick. Anthony Simmons re-signed. Congratulations on that. You know, Keon Johnson, Josh Hart. So they do have some things. But then again, it's like I don't know if we don't think that's enough as far as star power to entice the Brooklyn. You know, obviously. So it's one of the situations where I know they were another team that was on the list, if you will. But it's just it's tough.
You'd have to cross them off. Absolutely, you'd have to cross them off. I would say it would be with this particular ownership, you'd have to cross them off. If Phil Knight were in play, it may be a different conversation. You know, because you can offer him lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
You're not offering him South Beach.
No, you're not.
You know, but you could offer him a lot of things down the road in his lifetime that could benefit a guy like
Katie
or anybody.
The problem is that you would have to have all the picks and be able to keep and still have held on to CJ and Dane. If he walks in there to CJ and Dane and they trade the whole roster and multiple picks, it's still like, yeah, the three of us can win with five other dudes and win it. But once CJ is gone, just coming down, it's just going to be hard for that to happen. I'm with the Lakers. Like, they don't have enough. I've heard the reports about them trying to do stuff for him and Kyrie, and I was like, for who? 18 picks and AD and THC? Like, that's not a package that Brooklyn would take, right? But the thing of it is, how do you – you can never get adequate value, I think, for KD in this market. I just don't think you can. Unless somebody does something so crazy that we don't see coming. Like, KD is a top three player right now. What is adequate for AD? I just don't know if you have enough as a team to get it done. They're in a tough spot. If DeJounte Murray can go for three first-round picks from the Hawks, what's Kevin Durant worth?
Right.
That's good stuff. Yeah, but it's tough. I mean, you're not Giannis. He's probably worth Giannis. That's it, man, honestly. And there's nothing else out there, you know, like you said, you know. But that's the hot one. I think this is Naj on. And Naj, what's up, sir? How are you, man?
Yo. I'm Naj outside. I'm overserved. What's happening?
We are – you came in at an interesting moment. We were just discussing the Woj bomb, talking about Kevin Durant and his interesting demand here to be traded. Well, not demand, just his request, if you will. And Robert made a great point.
Oh, it's
as
a
far
demand.
As the fact that he made that. It was funny how we were talking going around the room, and we were saying that it's interesting how whenever Kyrie opted back in, then Durant's like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and get traded. So we were talking about the top team. What can Brooklyn get? Because the top five were listed on CBS Sports were the Trailblazers. We're talking about that's not an option. They don't have enough. Oklahoma City has the picks, but maybe not the talent. You know, Raptors are on there. The Heat is possibly the nice situation because it's like JQ was like, just send Butler and a couple picks by. And then we also talked about the Phoenix Suns is probably the top one, if you will, too. So if you want to kind of throw your thoughts in there and, you know, whatever. So I know you're shaking
your head. DeAndre Ayton is not enough.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm
hey,
with
man.
You. And Booker
what is KD worth?
Talk about that.
Fully, yeah. What is KD worth? Fully signed with 4 years on the deal. Everything. So,
right.
Like, this is one of the greatest trade pieces to ever be available in the NBA. So the packages for him are going to be crazy. But now we run into this is the thing that I think people aren't mentioning enough, which is going to be a problem. If you're the Brooklyn Nets, because of the James Harden trade, the Houston Rockets own all of your picks. So you can't even tank. So you can't just accept young pieces and picks.
Yep.
You actually should try to be good over the next few years because Houston, I mean Houston has all of your picks. So unless you want to help Houston out, you kind of have to think about Brooklyn more than you do where KD lands. So this has more of a Kawhi getting traded from San Antonio feel than anything else because I don't know how willing Brooklyn is going to be to look out for KD first. So that's the first thing to think about. Those picks are gone. That Harden deal. Ugh. Everybody calls stupid for taking those picks.
I think that's what Sean Marks is like saying. Well, if we do that and they're going to get ours and they're going to be like, me at late lottery, then if I dupe somebody and get a whole lot of picks for KD, at least I can replace them by, like, that 4 to 5 pick slot. Like, if our pick is 5th and we trade with somebody and their pick is 10th, but they try to rebuild with KD, well, at least we got a little closer, right, to get some of those picks back. But I agree with you, and I told them before you got on here, what is KD worth? If DeJounte Murray can go for 3 picks to Atlanta, how many picks do you have to give up to get KD? Or if you don't have one superstar and one really good role player and also picks, I just don't know what an adequate package looks like for KD. I don't.
Yeah, see, and then here's the other part. And yes, I've been on CBA message boards and Twitter all day, so I'm ridiculous. But you can't take on a rookie-scale player who signed an extension either because you took on Ben Simmons and you can't have two of them on your roster. You can't trade for two of them on your roster. So that's why for the Miami deal, that's why they couldn't take Bam. So, man, dude, there's some restrictions on this. But, again, this is the greatest trade, like KD's what, a top 15, 20 all-time player? Those guys aren't available with some of their prime left. So this is going to be one of the greatest packages we've ever seen, but it's just with all these damn qualifiers.
On a four-year deal.
Man, I don't know how it gets handled.
That was crazy about it. He is on a four-year deal. You're going to trade for him. You're going to say whatever he wants for whoever team trades for him. They got him under control for 4 years. You go ahead, Rob. That's wild. I agree with you. It's insane.
Yep. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm sorry, fellas. I'm being silent.
We got you.
For other things. Where are we?
Man, get off the trade machine. He ain't coming to New Orleans, Rob. Brian Williamson.
I know that.
Brian Williamson's all the way in.
Hey, you know why you BSing? That's not necessarily true. If you come up with CJ and Brandon Ingram and some picks, rotate one of them for Zion Wilson, New Jersey might listen.
Hey,
what's your boy saying? Now you have
hey,
my
I like the team. I like the team the Pelicans have put together, to be honest with you. I if I'm the Pelicans, I stay where we at. I like the team we put together. And but you know, yeah, I know he's not
going
to New Orleans. That's out of the question. But you know, you look at the free agency, the Jalen Brunson deal, 4 years, $110 million with the Knicks. You know, I know we've been going back and forth. You're looking at some of these deals. Anthony Simmons, 4 years, $100 million. With the Blazers. I know Gary's gonna touch on that here in a little bit. And then you look at Tyler Hero is probably gonna get the same amount of money, about 4 years, $100 million with the Miami Heat. You know, so all three of those players are getting about the same amount of money. Out of those three players, which one is worth that contract?
Wow.
All of them. Like, we got to think about what percentage of the cap you are as opposed to the dollar number now, because the money is going to get even crazier. And honestly, this is why the NBA is finally catching up to the NFL. Not in America, but globally, because the TV money globally and marketing money and every sponsorship money, it's changed everything. All these people are flush with cash. You see them spending it like crazy. And you always got to ask, what the hell are they making? So, yeah, man, the NBA, this is a new day, man. It's a new era.
Talk about Simmons there, Gary. Get your thought in, bro.
Well, I'll tell you what, these guys that are getting that 4 years, you know, $100 million, $110 million, that's the wave of this whole thing. That's the wave of this whole free agency. If you're looking at, you're a GM and you got to keep some of these players, this is what they're going for. Are they worth it? Well, each team is hoping that their guy is the guy that's worth it. In Portland, Anthony Simons, I like him. I like him. Is he worth $25 million a year? I don't know. Jury's still out
that's
for
fair.
Me.
That's fair.
I like the kid. He's got a great upside. He's a hard worker. He's paid his dues. He's going to have a chance to be that guy to fill in where, you know, CJ's gone. Now he's the next man up. I like CJ. CJ has done a fantastic job with the Pelicans. He's proven himself to be a top level talent in this league, even though he has no all-star appearances to prove it. He is definitely all-star caliber. That's what we're hoping for Simons at some point. I don't think it's going to be next year, but I'm hoping that's where he's headed.
Yeah. You're paying for potential for him, Gary. You're seeing what he's got, and then hopefully he can live up to that contract for sure. As you know, Naj said, it's going to get even more crazy if you can actually believe that for sure. But, you know, CJ, great story about him and Dame whenever they first came into the league, man. And I think if you're a big fan of there's that the Players Journal, they talk about some good stuff in that. And there was a great article about him and Dame. So just kind of talking about how they were coming up. And he's able to bring that type of intensity to, you know, camaraderie to the Pelicans while they're playing so well too. So good stuff. Anything else you want to talk about that, JQ, about what's happening with that? I know Malik Monk left the Lakers and signed with the Kings. You can kind of touch on that, if you will.
That's ignorant. Yeah. Who leaves the Lakers to go play for the Kings? Go ahead. Have fun. Get your money, baby. That's what you're going to go do. But, sure. okay. No, I'm good. I'm not trying to take up too much of the time, so let's go.
And it's interesting, we talk about Bradley Beal, right? Remember we made the comment that, you know, he opts out, but Russ said he's going to opt back in. He opt back in. So, Rob, you talk about that?
Was it Bradley Beal?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You
look at Bradley Beal, you look at the Joker in Denver, and and Booker. All three of those guys got massive extensions. So just like we talked about earlier, Phoenix is not trading Booker for Durant. They can forget it. Although I think Durant is a better player right now, they're looking at the age of Booker and the upside of Booker too. They're not going to trade Booker. I mean, the best the Nets are going to get from Phoenix is a sign and trade with Ayton. And a bunch of draft picks from Phoenix. Not sure if that's going to be enough for the Nets. But, you know, that's about all Phoenix is willing to do unless they take a 45-year-old Chris Paul in the deal. Maybe they trade Paul and Ayton and a bunch of draft picks.
Come on,
Chris
man.
Paul is the beat.
Come on, man. Come on. That deal, if you're Brooklyn, that deal stops and starts with Ayton and Booker. We just going to move on.
Yep.
I hate to say it, but I would love to see the presser of Chris Paul if that happened. And that dude would be crying, threatening to retire. Like, I don't know what Chris would do if they tried to do that to him. And to the Booker point, I think Booker just signed that extension, so he's not eligible to be traded either. I think until either the deadline or after the season. So there's no way. But I guess you could do Bridges and Ayton, possibly. But I don't know if that's
Bridges. Oh, no. Kevin Durant and five first-round picks? Because Ayton and Bridges is not enough on no days. You know it. On no days. If you can get Zion
Murphy for
two picks.
I'm
going to
be talking about this for the next 3 days, dude. This is so damn intriguing, dude. Like,
it's
so many
crazy.
Ways it could go. It's so many ways.
If DeJounte Murray can get three picks, then Kevin Durant is seven. Plus a player. Seven. I don't care what you're talking about. Swaps, right out deals. If DeJounte Murray is worth three, and Kevin Durant is worth at least five or six, seven is the most. I'm lying.
I want to make him happy. Like it's not Joe Tsai's job to make you happy. You want to leave too, so your interest is probably not first. So dude, this is going to be a lot. And to the previous point about your man from LA going to Sacto, that's called my agent said I got to take this money while it's here because when this musical chair starts. I might be left without a chair, so I got to take
because
it, even
his
though I don't want
to
go to Sacramento.
You can't let your brother be your agent. He going to be like, yeah, we getting paid regardless because I need this 4%. Your brother can't be your agent. He can't be your agent. He's not acting in your best interest. Come on.
Yo, bro, I got to
hey,
man. Okay.
The Lakers are famous for leaving you hanging and then waiting and coming with a lowball offer at the end. So I
bro,
can't not
if
take
your
money.
Brother is your agent. He's saying we both in the eBay, Playboy. You eat, I'm eating off of you. Let's go, Sac Town. Stop it.
Right.
It's
rough.
I'm not mad about you getting your money.
Hold
I'm just
on,
saying,
on,
when you let your brother be your agent, that's what's going to happen. You end up in Sacramento.
Hey, man, there's one more thing, though. Okay, how did the Knicks get away with hiring Jalen Brunson's daddy? Like, wait
hey,
a minute, what?
Solid question.
That's a solid question.
Solid really question.
I don't know. What is this?
So not only have they given Jalen Brunson $110 million, they also give his daddy money. Like, if the Brunsons don't work out, like, don't they got to, like, fight on Broadway? Like, what are you going to do if that don't work out? You got him and his daddy, and it don't work out?
And shouldn't you have to be an All-NBA player before we hire your daddy? Like, this should be level.
Right. That dude had one good year. He had one good year playing a probably top 20 right now. Luka, would you give him 20? 21, 22, somewhere in there. So he played Jaylen against Malone,
played
that
well.
Dude.
Jaylen played well. He played well.
Yes, but it helps to play alongside Luka. RJ
right.
Barrett
was out
is not Luka.
He was out for a little bit. He stepped up. I'm not saying he's all that, but Jake, he did kind of play well.
Yes, he was out for two games and he stepped up. That's not the same.
That's not the same thing. I don't know for two.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Agreed. Agreed. For one team for 4 years?
Luka, it wasn't just two games. It was also a lot during the season as well. I'm not saying he was like, all right,
listen,
war, but there's some times through that. But I'm just saying.
Listen, they don't have to serve communion on Sundays. They don't have to clean up
and
recycle on Thursdays. That's a lot of money in New York for you and your daddy, for him just to be a 17-point score a game.
I'm not saying that, but I did say he's playing well. I wouldn't say he's worth $110 million, but I did say, you know,
he's making more money per year than he scored points in the same year. He's making $25 million a year. His average is 17. Stop it.
I'm saying that. I didn't say he was worth $110 million. That's not what I was saying. I was saying he played well. That's all I was trying to say. Now, again,
he could be playing with Luka. Go ahead, New York. Pay 6 feet, eat their ass up. Oh, my God. That's going to be so bad.
Well, you know, they need to point that the worst way. We talked about that. But, yeah, go ahead.
Right. And look, I said what I said about,
so,
you know, about the marketplace and the salaries are just going to be crazy. But the other side has a point when they bring up certain cap numbers, because the sticker shock leads to fans turning on you. So when you're Brunson at about 20 points per game to 22, that ain't going to get it. Like at 20 per, you got to get to that 25 per game rarefied air all-star level player. And if he's a little below that, which I think we all think he is as a player, then the backlash can end up turning the contract to a disaster.
His average is 17. You want him to score 8 more points a game over 82 games? Let's think again. Right.
Jake,
he's a
17 point. He may average less than that 17.5 points per game.
That's a good call. We know that. Yeah.
Right.
You look at the roster, too. You got an old, you know, freaking Julius Randle. Your best player is RJ Barrett. You know, we don't know what's happening with Toppin. You know, it's a cluster. We know that, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But like you said, like you said, Naj, him and his daddy may be out there, you know, fighting. You know, we'll see what's going to happen in New York, man, on Broadway.
Hey, don't go to the Rucker.
Do not go to the Rucker. I was going to say, I know there's a lot of not a lot of love, but I am going to insert, you know, the Hawks talk too happened with Jonte Murray, if I put that damn right name right. But I will say that it's interesting because in my heart of hearts, I really would say I wouldn't want to give up that many picks, but I kind of understand the situation behind it because at this juncture, you know, Atlanta's, you know, those picks are young guys, right? So you have to kind of, you know, shoot your shot, as they say. I will say an interesting fact that when I was going back and looking up the stats is like, you know, we actually, the Hawks, so this was in 2016, whenever we drafted Taurean Prince and we drafted DeAndre Bembry over Jonte Murray, which I thought was pretty interesting. So the Spurs drafted him 29th overall, and you're like, oh, my God, now we're coming back and, you know, the staff that drafted, you know, they're obviously not here, but I'm just like, damn, that's kind of interesting how far back ago that was. And then, you know, obviously he had a pretty
good price to pay, huh?
If you think about it. Yeah, and so you're thinking about this, right? And then you're looking at – the only thing I would say that's pretty positive, and I know we gave up a lot, is that, you know, there's kind of a tie and there's some intangibles with this, right? I know it's not a lot, but I'm saying, you know, you had to do that. But what I'm saying is that the tie is – the DNA is interesting because, you know, Murray was around whenever he had the last part of, you know, Duncan. We had the last part of – Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, all those guys were kind of in his kind of crawl. Same thing as far as having a Kawhi was there. You know, obviously great coach with Popovich was there. You know, so he had his battles with that too. And obviously Derek White was there last year, you know, before he got traded to the Celtics. So you have an interesting situation that's happening as far as, you know, we're hoping that kind of DNA will kind of like obviously come to the Hawks, you know, because 6'4", 6'10 wingspan, you know, the guy's long, and we don't need him to be an amazing shooter. We need him to kind of fill up are the intangibles that Trey can't do, basically being secondary ball handler, getting in, you know, and he was with DeMar DeRozan too, by the way. You know, so he kind of has a similar kind of mid-range game too. So you're kind of learning from this, like, okay, he can fill in those gaps. And I thought it was an interesting move. So, yeah, like I said, if you're the Spurs draft extremely well. So, again, they're hoping that lightning in the bottle strikes again if they get, you know, that Victor Wembanyama, that's
big,
the guy, the French guy. They're hoping that he comes through, because last time we had this situation, they drafted Tim Duncan. So they're kind of hoping that this happens again, you know. And if you're kind of like the NBA, you're like, damn it, Spurs, because you can't really think of another free agent that just wants to go to San Antonio, right? They just like, hey, I'm going to San Antonio.
Nobody wants to go to San Antonio.
Exactly. Who was the main guy? Was it like, there was a couple, I'm looking up, like, it was like back in the day, man. So they have to get draft picks right. So no one's like, hey, you know, so, but they've been doing it, right? So they just know how to draft well and kind of fit people in the system and you know, credit to Pop and stuff like that too. So that's kind of an interesting kind of like segue as far as what happened with that. And I think if for the Hawks, you got to be excited about the situation with that. Like you said, JQ, I know it's a lot of picks. You know, again, we don't really need those young players because they have to grow into the league. So it's kind of a win-now situation now if you're looking at the situation. And I know people are like, oh, we lost or who won. And some people say, you know, the Hawks lost. And some people say the Spurs won. And just, I think it's kind of a situation, again, we'll see if it, you know, once the dust settles, how it happens as far as that win-win situation from that.
You know what? Yeah, Sam, I think it's almost
– looking at – Go ahead.
I think it's honestly, yeah, because Sam Presti has like 34 picks over the next 7 years in the first round. But it's one of those, to me, it's one of those rare win-wins, and this is why I say that, because everybody assumes a little bit of risk, right? I think Atlanta, mm-hmm. if you feel like he's going to come and make a difference for you, he's going to be the bigger guard to take Trey off the ball and have a bigger guard in the backcourt with Trey. That's what you need, because Trey's a little smaller. He's shown that he can be that dude to play defense. He doesn't shoot a great percentage, but he can also play the point. He can move Trey off the ball. If you're San Antonio and you're not convinced he's that guy, now I've gotten 3 first-round picks for him. But if you're Atlanta, you're saying, well, if he's that guy, then those picks are all in the 20s, 21, 22, 26, 27, if they play the way you think he's going to play with them. So those are crapshoot anyway. So it's really just going to come down to how does it work out for it. It's just hard to bet against Pop because I feel like if Pop thought he was that guy, then they don't give him up for whatever reason. Or maybe he just looked up and, like we talked about, that dude said, I am not living in San Antonio long term. Atlanta,
Rich Paul.
Yes. I am not talking about living in San Antonio. And you have to take that into consideration. People don't necessarily want to move to San Antonio. I can't attract free agents to San Antonio. Tim Duncan and Ginobili and Parker are not walking through that door. So – It's both sides of it.
Maybe
I feel like that dude was good. But I feel like that if you feel like that dude wants to play in San Antonio long term, let's get something for him. Right? If San Antonio's not for him, and you watch him walk around the streets in San Antonio, you watch him walk around the locker room with San Antonio, he's like, this dude ain't going to be here long term. It's not that he's not good, but I just don't feel like he's a guy that wants to live in San Antonio and make a name in his community and build it up. If that's how you feel about him, then you still have him. He got 3 first-round picks. And Atlanta said, he's going to be here. We're going to be good. Fuck these picks. These picks ain't going to be worth nothing. They're going to be 28, 27, 26. So I can't hate on it. It's a great pick. I told you about it before. When the Celtics were down on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown is an Atlanta kid, they should have traded for Jaylen Brown right then, and they didn't. And Boston figured it out. Now you can't probably get Jaylen Brown unless it's a – humongous deal for a superstar. But if you know it's DeJounte Murray for 3 first-round picks and all those picks going to be in the mid-20s, then
yeah,
I feel like that's a good trade for Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, Atlanta
does lost
too.
The battle. Oh, go ahead, Gary. My bad. Was that
no,
Curtis?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, sure. Go ahead. I'll go after you, bro.
All
money,
right.
Y'all.
Okay. Atlanta feels like they can compete. And if they can get a guy that's going to be that, you know, defensive guy that can, you know, give them what they need, and, you know, that could be a really good, you know, guard tandem. that can they can switch positions. One can run a shooting guard. One can run the point guard. They can create lots of different weapons with just those two guys and how they either free up one another, however that works out. And I think they're one of those teams that's really in that position where they're trying to be all in. They want to compete in the East, and I think they're going to be competing in the East.
I do too.
The Hawks have proven now that they're a competent franchise. Like this was something you had to do to make sure you never had issues with Trey, where you say, okay, we've given him everything he needs. At this point, now it's about roster building. Now they're coming up on the tax line, so I'm really wary about what they're going to do because I think they're going to try to shed some more salary. In San Antonio, I think Pop lost the battle. They should have started the rebuild 3 years ago. Pop told them they could compete, and they kept going, and now they're finally doing it, and I think that's why they got rid of DeJounte. I think he likes DeJounte. I just think it was time where it's like, look, Pop, this team is not good enough. We don't have the pieces. We really need to do this full rebuild. So they're finally doing it. They're in the sweepstakes. And Sam Presti is like, okay, you got a couple picks? I got 50 of them. What you want to do, bro? I'm after Vinny.
Right.
What's my man named? Big Vic out of France. So, yeah, this is going to get funny. But in true Atlanta fashion, the moment we get to DeJounte Murray, Kevin Durant goes on the block. I mean, Atlanta, bro, you couldn't write this stuff. Yeah. You couldn't write it.
Yeah.
I told you. They don't want to come to Atlanta because they got all the strippers and side chicks here in Atlanta. And I'm talking about playing here in Atlanta. Y'all don't want to believe that my conspiracy theory, but I'm telling you it's the truth.
This guy's got fun.
A lot of players have admitted that.
I do think Pop has lost some credibility over the last couple of years. You know, I think his resume is outstanding. But in any league, in anything, it's what have you done for me lately? And I don't think the moves that San Antonio has made have been Pop-like in the past. So I've kind of lost some credit. I've lost some respect for the guy. Not that I do respect him, but I feel like he's lost some. I don't know. Maybe he's just burnt out on coaching. Maybe he's just at the tail end of it, and he's willing to just run off with his resume, which is excellent. What is it then?
Look at what they drafted.
I don't know.
Like, everything they had was not imported. They drafted Tim Duncan. They drafted Tony Parker. They drafted Ginobili.
I understand.
Like,
that.
If you don't hit those guys in that era where they can grow together and give you that piece, Lonnie Walker and DeJounte Murray didn't keep that going, right? So I think part of it is that when you're a small franchise, small city franchise like San Antonio, you got to hit, and they hit like boom, 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 boom. But to ask them to hit like boom, 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 boom over 20, 25 years and just keep it running, that's hard. It's hard to do. Like, you feel like you got to do that guy that you want, but, you know, it's – and you get Tim Duncan after a year with Denver Robinson got hurt.
This is the business we chose. You got to hit him, man. That's just what it is. So,
yeah.
We thought – see, the thing of it is – JQ, as we did, we thought that San Antonio had that recipe.
Yeah.
They don't. They had it.
You know
they
what,
lost
Gary?
It.
Gary, it's tough. I will say this.
You're
because
right.
The Spurs have been in the playoffs for, like, what, 22-something years? So that's hard to, like, fight against. They were in – the last time they were in the playoffs was 2019. So it's tough. You know, it's only been 3 years they haven't been, but I'm just saying – you talk about Pop and his longevity. That dude has been a good coach, you know. So, again, we can talk about players, what's happening in the league, it's better. But I know we're not sitting on, but I'm saying
100%.
That team has been consistently in the playoffs. But, yeah, so,
I
you
understand
let,
that.
You know.
But if you look at the trajectory, it's been consistently worse.
Yeah.
And that's
fair.
Where I see
that's
it.
Fair.
And that's where I can sit. I see it moving in that same thing.
It's hard. It's hard to get Tim Duncan
they lost,
in draft.
They lost Kawhi. They lost Kawhi, and there's certain situations that happened that you know they didn't get anything for him. There's a couple situations that happened. They saw the only guy that they signed was like LaMarcus Aldridge. No offense to him, right? You know, you're like, oh my God, right?
Well, then
and
you have
than
to
that,
look
that
at
was,
why
you know,
did they lose a guy like Kawhi? Why did
George
Pop
Hill
lose a guy? Like, you know,
they drafted him for George Hill almost straight up. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's the real thing. That happened.
Is Rob good over there? I'm making sure Rob is okay, man, because Rob has not chimed in at all.
Rob, get off that trade machine.
You still got technical difficulties over there?
Yeah, Rob, it won't let me back in the Zoom because it said you kicked me out.
Hold on, let's do the invite again. I was trying to kick you to kind of bring you back, but apparently that's not good at all.
So what he said is that he did kick you out.
Exactly.
I'm trying to get Rob in. I was trying to do a nice remove because I wasn't trying to kick. I was trying to get you in the fight. You can throw
nice
back
remove.
In. So that did not happen the way I meant to happen. Do anything here?
JQ, what do you think of my thought process on that? That the trajectory of the San Antonio Spurs is not heading up. It's heading down. And you've got to put some of that on coaching, on the system. If everything else was pop system.
That's R.C. Buford. Because you hit David Robinson, and then he gets hurt, and you luck into getting the first-round pick again, and you luck into Tim Duncan. And then you hit late round on Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. Those are things you can't bank on always hitting late on those kind of guys who you get them for 3 or 4 years on minimum salary. So now you got those guys. They got to prove themselves. They're already paying Tim Duncan and David Robinson. Now you can pull out the rest of the roster because you got two high-priced guys and two low-priced guys. And you got lucky on Kawhi and he's trading for George Hill, which was the wildest shit ever. But I feel like, you know, Kawhi was like, San Antonio, it's not for me. I'm never signing again here. Go get what you can get for me because I'm leaving regardless. So they said they passed. And said, and made a deal. But when you walk into two generational talents like David Robinson and Tim Duncan and let them play together at Twin Towers back in those days where being big mattered, you know, you can run a Western and Eastern Conference if you fill in around them. But if you don't have that kind of luck and success right after that, then you go into being a lottery or play-in team because it's still San Antonio and nobody wants to go live by the Riverwalk. You can say what you want to say, but they don't.
I'm here for the
just
pop slander. I'm with
San Antonio. Like, nobody want to be with them big women, huh?
Nobody wants to live in San Antonio.
I'm here for all the pop slander. Look, Pop is one of the best to ever do it, but that doesn't mean
100%.
You get a clean slate for the end of your career. And the end of your career, especially with coaches, sometimes you can wear out your welcome anywhere. And this is why Pat Riley moved around. This is why Phil moved around. And Pop probably would have been better served to leave San Antonio and go somewhere else, during the end of that run with his original group. Remember what happened.
Yep.
San Antonio invested money into scouting overseas when the rest of the NBA wasn't doing it. Now everybody does it, so they don't have that same advantage. That advantage brought them Tony Parker and Ginobili. That never happens again. You don't get that level of prospect late in the draft because everybody else doesn't know how good they are. So you lost that advantage, and you had to hit right, like you said, in the draft. So now you're like everybody else. You win some, you lose some, because the draft is an exact science, and you're not going to get it right every time. I think Gary is spot on with his assessment of Pop. Now, the problem is, if you're San Antonio, you can't push Pop out the door. He's one of the three most important San Antonio Spurs in franchise history. You can't push him out the door. You can just nudge him into a rebuild and then get him out the door. So I think that's what we're seeing.
No, you let him be the assistant GM and say you can be the GM in 2 years. So get off the bench. That's all you got. That's all you got.
That's it. So, yeah, I'm here for the Pop slander. With that said, Pop is a top four NBA coach of all time.
Yes, he was.
Was.
But it helps. Sorry, go ahead, Rob. Go for it, bro.
No. I was just commenting off what Gary said. It was.
I'm here for all the slander. I love it. I love it.
That's tough right there, Rob. You said, like you said, was. That's tough.
We're gonna
think about how big that advantage was, man. We'll never see that again. Where the rest of the NBA thinks all Euro players are soft and not as good, and Santonio is spending heavily on recruiting and scouting these foreign players, and it worked out for him. Now everybody does.
100%. But let's not get carried away though. It did work out for him. When you mess around and back in those days and put David Robson next to Tim Duncan. It helps to have Beverly and Parker, don't get me wrong. But those two big jokers up front are the bigger reason. And it's hard to fall into two of them again. It's hard.
Good stuff. Shout out to Marsh. I did want to say you guys a really good movie, which was Hustle with Adam Sandler. That was a really good movie, especially us being NBA fans. Just a really great movie. It talks about scouting, which I thought was pretty unique too as well, because just if you see that world. So if you do want to check it out, great little date movie. I'm sure you guys will definitely appreciate that for sure. So we had a good time watching that.
Shout out to future global icon Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is a star among stars. Like,
in the making.
That kid is a star, man.
Yeah,
he is. In the making.
Yeah.
He really
is. I want to ask this to Garrett. Before we get to the OT, because we're getting close to OT, which is crazy, and we're going to probably last for like 10 minutes after that really quick. I do want to get your thoughts because, and this is going to piggyback to you too, JQ, about the big announcement with what's been happening with USC and obviously UCLA planning to join the Big Ten. So you talk about like a big shift, you know, because I don't know if you hear anything from that side, Gary, on your end, just, you know, some thoughts, and then we'll probably kick it to OT after your thoughts, Gary. We'll let JQ, Naj go around the room, and we'll kind of wrap it up too. But just, and are you hearing anything on the West Coast about this situation, Gary, and your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, that what I instantly thought of was Rob was telling me that, you know, with the coaching changes and down in Southern Cal, that they were going to win the Pac-12 for the next, what, 8 out of the next 10 years that USC was going to win the Pac-12. Yeah, you did. And I laughed at you about it.
Now, we can go back to that
every year.
We
can
go back and look at the tapes, but you absolutely did. So there's absolutely no way in hell USC is going to win the Pac-12. 8 times out of the next 10 years with their coaching change.
They beat you on the
I'm going to let Rob respond to that.
Rob, Rob. Lord have mercy. We can let Rob respond.
What was that?
We're going to let you respond to that, Rob. That was firing shots, if you will, bro.
Oh, yeah, because he went right to you. So I'm going to let you have these 2 minutes. Go for it, baby.
Wait, what did he say? I'm sorry, what did he say?
He said what you alluded to, that when USC got Lincoln Riley, he said he thought they would probably win the next 8 out of the 10 Pac-10 championships. You 100% said that. So you go for it.
I said they're going to be in contention every year with him at the
You said, OT, they will win 8 out of the next 10.
Hey, I got to get a tape on that one. I agree. But it sucks. You look at the way he's recruiting right now. Man, the guy is signing five-star recruit after five-star recruiting in the transfer portals. I firmly agree that he's going to be in contention almost every year. That's for sure. I don't know if I said they're going to win in 8 out of 10 years. I got to hear that tape again.
I got you.
Well, it's on you to finish the show, I know.
That was a reasonable statement. I got you back. You lost on the technicality, man. Nothing you can do.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys hear the music. It's the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition for Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Los Angeles, we want to hear from y'all. USC, UCLA going to the Big Ten. Man, flying cross country for your road games. How do you feel about that? We want to hear from y'all out in L.A. Dial in on next Tuesday night. We want to hear from y'all. That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for y'all in Los Angeles. And then Big Ten Country, we want to hear from y'all too on next week. That's going to be 11 Eastern and 10 Central. Good night, people. We're going to go into our brief OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live.
But click on the same link so we can get the rest of the show to you. Good night, people.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Now I'm going to go into it after the OT portion because, you know, I'm a Big Ten guy. So I love y'all. Y'all download this link for all the rest of this foolishness that's going to take place. Listen, you definitely said that. I remember that. It was somewhere around that. And Gary was like, well, what about Oregon? He was like, whatever. So that happens. So let's just go ahead and own that piece of it. But for the Big Ten.
I said it was going to be in contention. I own that.
No, you
went hard now. You went hard on Lincoln Riley going to Oklahoma, to USC. I'm just going to say, you went hard. And you went wrong in the fact that.
Find the tape. Do your research, Andre. Find the tape.
All right.
You went wrong. No. I'm not saying you were wrong in the aspect of the Pac-12. I'm not upset with that tape. Like, I can see that. I can see that happening. But it just depends on how it shakes out with the Big Ten.
Blue Magic, I endorse it. I stand by it. I think Rob is right on this one, man. Look, he lost on the technicality. They switched conferences. If things would have stayed as they were, I think Rob was right. I'm with him. I'm sorry.
Listen, I didn't say I disagree with him. I said that he said it, don't back down on it. I never said I disagree with him. I feel like the way what he was doing with USC was going to be a problem because that's L.A. But if you're the Big Ten and you have a chance to go from coast to coast and you're going to get two stalwarts like UCLA and UCSC, and USC, and I know they're not being great lately, but you get New York to L.A. in your conference, literally, in
let's
terms of your media rights.
Is it my birthday today? I've been talking about this for years. Nobody would listen to me. I told you the super conferences were coming. Conferences don't matter. TV markets and population of your fan base and how they can travel is the only thing that matters. All of you mid-major, middle-tier programs, you're going to be locked out. We're going four super conferences, baby, and small football don't matter anymore. We talking $400 million per team big conference football. I'm a man. I'm 40. This is Big 12. Yeah, man. This is big football now, man. I tried to tell you.
He's not wrong.
Were coming.
If that happens, like it says going down, then the Big Ten goes to 16 teams. What stops the other three conferences from going to 16 teams? Well, now you got 64 teams on their own. We don't need the mid-majors. We don't need Cinderellas. We got 64 across four conferences, and we own this top to bottom. So he's not wrong.
Northwestern, dead. All of you people don't matter anymore. It's all big boy football. That's what we're about to get. Now, you can call it amateur or whatever you want to call it, but, yeah, super conferences, baby. The NCAA, they don't matter anymore either. Take your rule book and get the F out. This is big money football, baby. That's what's happening.
If you own L.A., New York, and Chicago in one conference, good luck, everybody else.
Well, one thing's for sure, I'm not predicting that USC is going to win 8 out of the 10 in the Big Ten.
To clean it up right there.
Well, I'm not predicting that. First of all, just think about how far they got to travel for all their road games. I mean, everybody else, they only have to go to LA once a year. Every time they have a road game in conference, unless they're playing each other in Los Angeles, they got to fly across country. That's going
to
be a lot
of work. Unless they go to Nebraska.
Sure, even Nebraska is a three-hour flight.
Nebraska, good luck. You're not long.
It's in the middle of the country. It's not like going to the East Coast. But you act like these dudes are flying in coach. Like, they flying on chartered jets with all the best benefits established for them as the Big Ten can provide it. Like, they're not sitting next to babies crying and people breastfeeding.
Let me tell you something about football teams flying on charter planes. They are regular passenger planes. Now, NBA teams, their charter planes is luxury.
You're forgetting the new money that's about to be injected. Not only private planes, NIL deals are getting bigger. It's about to get crazy, y'all.
No.
It's about to get crazy.
You know, I work in the industry.
Yeah, that regional jet from
From the Albuquerque to goddamn Yuma, the goddamn same thing they're flying on. That's not happening no more.
Yeah, Jay, you guys, Rob is absolutely right about the difference in the charters. He really is.
Right, yeah.
I've seen it for myself. Yep. I've been on these NBA charters.
They have so many people that have to travel. They have to fly on regular planes. They have to fly on regular. Now, they are charters. Don't get me wrong. They're charters. But they're flying on regular planes that you and I fly on when we fly because they just have so many people that have to fly. Now, NBA, hockey, Major League Baseball, well, Major League Baseball to a certain degree. We have specialized planes for those teams, and they have a ton of space on those. But the football teams, college and pro, they fly on regular passenger planes.
Rob, when the super conferences are allotted and they lay everything out, what do you think the TV deal is going to be when they renegotiate the playoffs? Sir, the private planes are coming. The limos are coming. It's about to get ridiculous. I'm trying to tell you. It's about to get ridiculous, man.
The private planes, I mean, you got to think about this. You got to think about how many people it takes to fly on a football team. And so it's not a whole lot you can do from a space perspective on an aircraft when you got to fly, you know, 85 people.
The first team flies on team plane A and the second team flies on team B? Is that what you're saying? That's the kind of money I'm talking about, man. This is about to get done.
Okay. Well, 40-40?
And here's the other thing that's going to get ugly. Once the big boys, you know, eat all the food off the table and start to, you know, lay everything out, the upper tier big schools like Oregon that Curtis represents and Gary represents, they're going to be able to bully the Utahs and all the other also-rans who are left over, and they're going to big dog them in the smaller conferences to the point to where it's going to be like what Texas did to the Big 12 a few years ago, where they had their own network and they took the majority of the money off the table. That's what Oregon is going to do to the Utahs of the world. Like, dude, this is going to be dog-eat-dog, straight-up capitalism, baby. Ain't no sentiment involved. Vanderbilt, nice. Thank you for the GPA all the years for the SEC. We don't need you anymore. Northwestern, thank you for the GPA all the years.
They never get rid of Vanderbilt. They need that GPA. They need that money. I don't know who you think they're going to get, but they're going to keep Vanderbilt just for the GPA.
The super conferences are bigger than the NCAA. They do.
Okay.
Those regulations and that rule book, cut it in half. The NCAA will be their do boy. The days of the NCAA punishing anybody that matters are over. The super conferences are writing the rules.
Wow.
He might not be wrong, though. He might not be wrong.
Money.
Rob, do you have anything to say? Do you have anything to counter this? Rob, I know it's been a – and I apologize. I was trying to remove you, bring you back, so that was on me. So this show has been a little off the walls, but I apologize.
No.
Anything else you want to say?
I was sidetracked by a few things in the show tonight, so I apologize. Wasn't my best. I have to make it up to our listeners next week. But, you know, talking about the conferences here, you know, I mean, you guys brought up some really good points there. We're going into a mega conference world, just like Nas just talked about. SEC 16 teams, Big Ten 16 teams. You know, when you got a USC and UCLA that's willing to put that kind of travel just to join a, you know, a mega conference, is saying a lot about how they felt about the Pac-12. And now the Pac-12 is going to be scrambling to stay together. Now the Big 12 is going after Arizona State and Arizona, and also going after Utah and Colorado. So now the Big 12 is trying to purge from the Pac-12 as well. So what happens to Oregon, Oregon State, Washington State? What happens to those schools? Do they have to join the Mountain West now? Join the WAC, or the Wacky WAC? What kind of conferences are they going to be left to scramble in? Because the Pac-12 may no longer exist.
Oregon has too much money. I don't know if that Phil Knight is going to make sure that Oregon is okay.
They're not going to spend it to the wire. I just don't see
that's what I'm saying.
They'll find their way somewhere.
Oregon's going to eat those guys. Oregon's going to eat those lower tier guys, man. They're going to make
they might become Notre Dame
to a ridiculous deal.
And BYU.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got
that's what I would do.
Enough pull to do it.
I think they do. If that is appealing to them, I'm the new Notre Dame and BYU. We Oregon. Did we play anybody in our college football uniform? I'm not saying in the Pac-12. I just
and don't rule out Oregon joining one of these conferences because again, remember the two criteria for you to think about when the super conferences are aligned are TV market and fan base travel. Those are the two things. TV market being the most important thing, which is why University of Houston is going to punch above their weight because they got a huge TV market. I'll be surprised. They might shock people where they go. But, yeah, this is going to get funky, man.
Yeah.
John Morant.
They might be the biggest player. Yeah.
5 years, $193 million. Breaking news. The Cat.
Ooh, that was it. I mean, that's
Carl
Anthony no-brainer.
Got a whole year, $224 million. So a lot of deals still coming through in the NBA right now as we speak.
We have not even talked about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in this show.
We did. What are you talking about? What do you mean?
All right.
Well, maybe we did.
Just
for the show, I want y'all to know I can fix
Kyrie. We started
Kyrie.
The show off.
I can fix
You're
Kyrie.
Right.
Then. I can fix it.
What was that?
I would go to Brooklyn, wherever Kyrie is right now, and I would take his phone, and I would remove YouTube. Situation fixed.
Okay.
You get Kyrie out of the
wow.
conspiracy theories and crazy stuff, Kyrie would be all right, man. Somebody's got to get his phone away from him. That solves everything. The boy's lost.
I take him away.
He needs help.
If they would take Westbrook, I would take Kyrie. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Well, of course you would. Of course you would for Westbrook.
You got to get rid of Westbrook for sure,
Come
man.
Come on.
JQ, man. Well, gentlemen, I think we've learned a lot. We've learned a lot this episode. I think we've learned a couple of things that we're going to say is that, number one, don't let your brother be your agent. That's the key takeaway, again, is because your brother will definitely screw you over or you'll be playing for the Sacramento Kings. That's an important comment, if you will, right there as we wrap up this show. We talked about super conferences. You know, if you are – if you're Rob, make sure you pay attention to comments regarding USC because, again, we're going to hold you to the fire as far as that. And then if you're trying to trade, you know, maybe the timing is off, man. What the hell happens with that? If you're trying to get Kevin Durant, you might as well give up the whole farm, if you will, too, man, because apparently I don't even know this is going to happen. So any last predictions as far as where you think, if you are betting, where do you think KD is going to end up?
AD for Kevin Durant. Let's go, Brooklyn. I do it tomorrow.
So JQ's putting that in for the Lakers.
Three pulls for Kevin Durant.
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
And what?
Gary.
And what else? Just a second. And what else?
He's 6 years younger than freaking Kevin Durant is with one last title.
And
Where's
what else from? Would you give up?
You can have that 2027
right.
first round pick. And THT, I'll holler at you.
Somebody taking up the phone for that one. Gary, what say you? Where do you think Kevin Durant's going to end up? He's going to stay with the Nets, or is he going to? They're going to force his hand?
I think he'll probably end up staying with the Nets because I think the price is just too steep.
Definitely.
And there's 29 teams out there that want him, of course, you know. But can they put a package together, and what are they willing to give up to get him? Yeah, I think he's staying right where he's at.
You have to figure out.
If Phoenix can get away with only giving up 8 in the picks and not having to include that, Booker in that deal, then Brooklyn is done.
Brooklyn may not have the leverage, though, to think about this, too, because they know that Kevin Durant wants to go, too, so they may be kind of.
Yes, they do. That dude is signed for 4 years. You can sit your happy ass down until I find a deal that works for me. We got you for 4 years. I don't care. People know how good you are. I will sit your ass in a damn suite and let you just run wind sprints and shoot free throws all day until I get the deal I want.
We said it at the beginning, though. You're not going to get a superstar back. Who are you going to get?
But you have to look here waiting. He's not in a contract year. He's got so years left on that deal. Boy,
who are you gonna get? Who are you gonna get? If you got Kevin Durant, who are you trading for? What you gonna get?
I will wait. I will wait an MF for Alex. Sorry, I almost cussed. I will wait an MF for Alex and see what they come up with because we got 4 years. If we're gonna trade Kyrie and Katie anyway, we ain't winning.
So I'm gonna put you on the bench for 4 years and no one makes that. Okay, okay, Rob. Okay.
Oh, this is a trade deadline.
Okay, okay, fair enough. Okay, Rob, what's up you? I got it. Thomas. Rob was at the train machine. Go ahead.
I'm at a loss. I don't know where I don't know where this goes with for Kevin Durant.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No one knows. I really don't know. I mean, there's some intriguing things out there. I still don't see how Miami makes that deal and gets better. And, yeah, I don't have a clue.
Yeah, because, again, if Murray gets worth 3 picks, I can't give you just 7 random picks over the next 13 years because you don't know how they're going to play out. So I have to have a player. But to Rob's point, who do you trade? Is Jimmy Butler enough with picks to get Kevin Durant? Like, if I'm Brooklyn, I say no. I laugh and joke. Is AD enough? Probably not. You can't get 8 in the picks to get him if you finish. You got to put Booker in that, right, at some part of it. Because I want Chris Paul's old ass. It's like, what do you do that makes Brooklyn say, you know what, that's the one I'm going to take? I have no idea.
And it's tough because, you know, we got to talk about Naj because Naj made a good point. Like, you know, you don't have any – you basically have all your picks to Houston. So you can't tank because Houston's going to get your picks. So you got to at least play well enough so, damn it, I can't – so you can't get young players. And that – oh, you know what I'm talking about. You can't get, like, rookie career, man. So
– are you replacing those picks in those same years with somebody else to where if I lose this pick in this position, maybe this one conveys to this slot. So then it's a wash, right?
So it's an interesting situation. So it's like either I'm getting something or I'm getting some decent, solid players. Not like, you know, the 15 player on the roster, obviously. But you have to figure out what works best. Naj, go ahead, and we'll wrap this up.
Yeah, my Chet Holmgren sliding in the draft bet failed. I lost money on that. But just so y'all know, I'm already in on DraftKings and FanDuel on Kevin Durant to Miami. The Godfather gets it done, baby. He gives them an offer they can't refuse. Shout out to Pat Riley. He gets it done.
Is that like Duncan? Duncan and Hero and Butler and like 2 first-round picks? Like, I just don't know what gets that done for Kevin Durant. So we come together next week and say, you know what?
My answer to all of that is yes. If that's what y'all want, yes. Whatever you want, yes. Take it. We'll figure it out on the back end.
Fair enough.
Rob, good stuff. I love how Naj was pretty steadfast in his prediction. Hey, Rob, I know you can touch. We'll wrap this up. Imani Bates was the number one guy coming out, and he's transferring. So you want to talk about that real quickly, and then just the interesting situation. This guy has been all over the map here. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, you know, definitely just, you know, a feel for the kid because I think there's some immaturity there still. And obviously was a 5-star recruit, number one overall recruit, didn't live up to expectations in Memphis. And then you transfer to Eastern Michigan. Like, how you go from being a number one recruit to Eastern Michigan? And so it's kind of mind-boggling. I mean, obviously I'm rooting for the kid. And but, you know, just didn't, you know, have an eye. He was injured most of his freshman year in Memphis, so I know that kind of hurt him a little bit. But how does a 5-star recruit, number one overall recruit in high school basketball, go to Eastern Michigan?
The same way Antonio Brown went to Western Michigan because he's a dickhead. I told you. You just don't want to listen because he's an asshole, and it happens. It happens.
Yeah, wow. He's a good prospect. He just wasn't good enough to skip a year of high school and jump into college basketball. He got bad advice, and he'll try to fix it by going to Eastern Michigan and gunning and getting himself to the league. But just don't know if he's that good. Like, honestly, I just don't know if he's that good. But, hey, this is his shot, man. Going to Eastern Michigan, shooting all the balls, and trying to get to the league, baby. But yeah, he
the same way Antonio Brown is from Miami and went to Western Michigan. It's the same difference. he's an asshole. It's okay to say it out loud. Just go ahead and say it and have some stock in it. He's an asshole and he messed up. So it's
about the asshole part. I'm talking about even if he was a nice guy right now, he's not good enough. That's the issue.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
no. Well, he just didn't play.
I'm sorry.
He's trying to pull a Steph, go to Davidson or something like that. But that's a whole, like, that's a big if, you know what I'm saying? That's a big, big if, man. So I don't even know. We'll have to see. He's kind of been banished to to life. You've been banished, bro. Get out the kingdom, man. So we'll see how that plays out.
Mac action.
Sure. Good night. Yeah. All right, gentlemen. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for joining, Naj. What a great pleasure. Join in. Gary, please get some rest, my friend. Hopefully you and Arnetta feel good and stuff like that. We appreciate having you on the call. We know we had an interesting time. Rob, I know it's crazy. I hope that you got everything solved. We appreciate you putting together the topics as always. I know it's been a weird night. Free agency is going to keep happening. We are this is NBA winning right now because, you know, the free agency stuff is going crazy. And, you know, Kevin Durant, it's going to be a drama. So we're going to see a lot of news about this over a couple of days, and we'll see how it plays out for sure, man. And I'm curious, man, is it going to be Miami? That looks like kind of the situation too, man, but no one knows. So this is a huge drama. Man, Steve Nash, bruh, you win it. There you go, man.
You should be fired.
Brooklyn. Yeah, that could happen.
We didn't even touch on that.
Yeah, that's a whole bad situation. Again, like, how did that dude get a job, man? Come on, man. Just saying. Damn it.
The same way he won the MVP over Kobe, but that's a different conversation for a different day. I'm not going to do it. I ain't going to do it.
Wow.
I ain't going to do it. Don't get me started.
I'm not a Lakers fan, but that's absolutely true. He had no business winning that over Kobe.
Yeah, they're trying to promote that.
All right,
that.
My bad.
Damn. He's Canadian.
It still stinks a little right here in the solar plexus. So, my bad. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's not your bad. That's actually a good call. I just remember bringing it up. Like, woo. That's a shot right there. Gary's firing shots. JQ's firing shots. Rob, Naj, everyone, we're dropping bombs, man. It's been one of those nights. But, gentlemen, man, have a great rest of your day. We will see you. Keep the text line open as always. Rob, I hope you're feeling getting everything squared. So next week, hopefully, we'll kind of clean slate, get you back in, and reset for sure, man. So good stuff. We'll keep that. We'll see what happens on FanDuel, DraftKings for you, sure, Naj. We'll see what happens, man. See if you can make up for that Chet Holmgren loss there, man. But have a good one, gentlemen. Until next week.
Rob, I hope that cold sore gets better for you.
Oh man. Can I people
in
the terrible mind?
Rob,
the question is,
Rob,
was it worth it? Because sometimes
See, you're not helping, Oz. You're not helping. We're going to bed.
I'm just saying.
Good night.
I'm just saying. Sometimes it's worth it, brother.
Oh, no.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, folks.